You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
And a warm welcome along to the Daily Racing Podcast, brought to you by William Hill. You join us on Thursday's edition of the podcast, where we're looking ahead to the action from Market Racing Leicester and Wincanton in the afternoon. Then we've got an all-weather meeting at Kempton Park in the evening and an Irish card over at Clonmel. And you'll hear every race live from 1:55pm in the Racing Radio studio in the company of Stephen Powell, Chris Pimlott and Craig Forsyth. But ahead of all that, joining myself to take a quick spin through the latest racing news and look ahead to four contests on Thursday, I'm delighted to be joined by Dale Gibson. How are you today, Dale?
Very well, thank you.
Good. Been keeping busy lately?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, no, plenty going on, can't complain.
Yeah, I imagine it. Man of your position is rarely not busy.
Yeah, not sat down for too long, but we're in good shape and plenty of good racing on at the minute as well. You know, we've been blessed so far with the weather. It hasn't been too bad. We had plenty of rain around recently. I was at Weatherby the other day and it was pretty testing ground. Other than, you know, a fair bit of rain, we've been quite lucky with snow and frost. So at least we haven't lost very much and looking forward to the next few weeks in the build up to Christmas really.
Yeah, absolutely. Some fantastic racing set to come. But the story that's making all the headlines at the moment is a race that's not till April, Dale, yeah. The biggest race of the year, of course. Grand National time being switched from 4:15 to 5:15 in a bid to boost viewers. What do you make of it?
I think it's a relatively bold call. I think it's a well thought out call in that sport, whether it's racing or football or cricket, has got to try and diversify itself when it is played. It used to be Saturday afternoons for football only, and then it went to Sundays and Monday night games and midweek games and everything else. And I think if racing needs to compete with the other major sports, that something like this is definitely worth trying. And let's face it, you know, it is the main event on that Saturday in April. And if the powers that be think that it can be an increase in betting revenue and an increase in interest by delaying it an hour, then so be it. I don't see too many negatives. One or two people said, oh, people will watch the football results at quarter five and then do whatever they're doing. But no, I think it's a good call overall.
Yeah, and it's certainly better than, I suppose, having the race midway through the second half, where if people are at a game. I mean, I've been at football grounds before where there's a stampede down to the concourse, people trying to watch the national. If you could do both.
Yep.
That would be
absolutely. I think it can work. I mean, I'm trying to think what time it was back in the day. It certainly wasn't as late as 4:15, and then it got put back. So maybe this is where we need to see it. We saw the first day-night test match the other day, Australia New Zealand.
Yeah.
Still not entirely convinced by that, but maybe that'll end up coming here. But I don't know. But you know, I think sport has to try and evolve. Certainly it's a bold initiative.
Certainly is. Yeah. And I suppose it might attract people that ordinarily wouldn't watch the race. I suppose for horse racing fans, they're going to watch the race, whether it's 4:15, 5:15, it makes no difference. It's to draw in the ones that wouldn't watch it.
New people, that's what it's all about.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll see how that initiative works. Elsewhere in the news then, just want to speak about Safadura. Obviously, we saw him in action at the Hennessy at the weekend. Gold Cup plans seemingly put on ice for the moment. Paul Nicholls going to send him back over hurdles. 10-1 chance with us here for the world hurdle. Mm. The correct decision for you?
Yeah, I do. I just think it's almost, as he said, a year too soon next year's Gold Cup, really. And needs to maybe get his confidence back. And we've seen with Big Bucks, you know, sometimes you just got to revert back to something that they find easier. And it may just be for this period of time that's his given sphere. And no better man than Paul Nicholls, if he's gonna come out with a statement like that, then at least he's letting people know now rather than nearer the time.
Yeah, wasn't a bad run in the Hennessy, and you could maybe see the Gold Cup being on the agenda perhaps for next year, but yeah. For now,
Yeah, I think it's a good call. It gives him a little bit of time just to get his head around where he'd run beforehand. Still a fair bit of time yet, 3.5 months. So no doubt he'll get a run into him either later this month or in January, just to get him back on the straight and narrow, really.
Yeah, look forward to seeing him then back over hurdles. We'll take a quick look now at some of the sales news recently. There's been some a bit of money splashed about for a couple of mares. Most interestingly, I thought Qualify's been purchased, obviously the Oaks winner. You wouldn't see too many Oaks winners get sold, Dale.
No, but I think the market's so strong for top-class mares with good pedigrees that then can then be put in foal and in the progeny, you know, if they're correct, get a return on investment. But the strong end was pretty strong, I must say, looking at it. And there were some quality mares going through, obviously Tiggy Wiggy being one who made over £2 million. Mm. Again, you know, she'll the next 4 or 5 years, she's going to be going to top flight stallions. At the lower end of the market, you know, we always see the higher end when it's advertised, but we don't always see the issues at the lower end. You know, the lower end was still relatively bargain basement, and it wasn't, you know, a particularly strong lower end, but certainly at the top end, those figures were strong. International market, as always, is at December sales. And, you know, if you've got, you can't keep your horses the whole time. You have to trade. Otherwise, you just accumulate horse after horse after horse after horse. And even if the big players have to trade at some stage, you know, Darley put a number through and Jubmont put a number through, and they're not all going to be good.
Yeah,
let's face it. There's a pyramid in life.
Well, it's not
there's
possible,
a pyramid in the horse life, and it's just not possible, as you say. You know, you've got to have a big, broad base at the bottom, and then pyramids up to those at the top, and it'll always be thus.
Yeah, absolutely. Looking forward to seeing the progeny, though, when we do get it. We'll move ahead now to take a look at some action on Thursday. We've got three jumpers in the afternoon on Thursday from Market Raise in Leicester and Wincanton. Then we're on the all-weather in the evening from Kempton Park. We'll start with Leicester's at 135. This is a handicap chase over a mile in 7 furlongs. It's a Class 4 event. 8 runners are down to take their chance in it. So a nice each-way shape to the race,
don't you? Yeah, it is. Yeah, I mean, that's, you know, it's a nice competitive chase. No superstars on show here, but I do like the look of Take the Crown. Henry Oliver, James Davis. James been riding particularly well this last year, and he's been very consistent in his riding just recently. Ran pretty well last time out when second at Bangor, won at Southall earlier in the year, March time, I believe. Isn't particularly badly burdened here off a mark of 101. And comes into the race in decent form. So Take the Crown for me.
Okay, Take the Crown and get in the pick for Dale in that Leicester race. We'll move on to Wincanton now for their 2 o'clock. Another handicap chase here. 3 miles and a furlong the trip for this one. Again, we've got 8 runners down to contest this Class 3. And a couple arrive here in winning form, Dale.
Yeah, they do. It's quite a nice little contest, this. A few quid on offer as well. 3 mile one, 0 to 125. But I do like the look of Fond Memory. He's off a mark of 121. He's won 2 out of 4 this time round for Nigel Twiston Davis and son Sam. And he looks to be just quietly going the right way. He's a 7-year-old. He's at the right age, at the right end of the weight age spectrum, and I think he's gonna have some sort of a shot at this. As an alternative to Fond Memory, Spending Time, David Pipe, just been a little bit out of form, but just signs that they're just beginning to come back to form. Just quietly, he's a shrewd operator, and Spending Time may well give Fond Memory most to do, but I'll stick with Fond Memory just to go and win another race for the Twiston Davis team.
Okay, Fond Memory then for the Twiston Davis combination, Nigel and Sam there in the 2 o'clock at Wincanton. Interesting, you mentioned the possible resurgence of David Pike there. Literally in real time, as we record this podcast, just 10 minutes ago, we've seen him banging a 25-1 winner.
Yeah, absolutely. Not many. He'll pull his win at 25-1, but you know, one or two of his horses haven't finished their races. You know, at some stage, you're really going to turn the corner, and when they were getting beaten, you know, it's not doing them any harm in a handicap.
Yeah, absolutely, and he's. He's a good trainer. You expect he's one of those yards where even when they are having a bad spell, Dale, you always expect them to come back.
They'll come good.
Absolutely. There's Dale's thoughts then for the 2 o'clock at Wincanton. We stay at Wincanton for race number 3 on today's podcast. This is the 2:35, a handicap hurdle here over a mile in 7. 5 runners down to contest this. A small field, Dale, but perfectly formed.
Yeah, absolutely. I thought there might just be a couple more runners from entry stage. 15 entered. I've only got 5 running. I do think Presenting Arms, though, has got a terrific opportunity of winning again off 127, and they're claiming with the amateurs claim. Harry Fry's quietly worked away with this fella. Not a strong contest. Gabriel the Great is coming off a break over a year. He won his first 3 last year and then fell on his last start. He's had some time off since then. Obviously, a couple of issues may just be ring rusty, may just be sharper for the outing. But for me, Presenting Arms, he's the one they've all got to beat.
Presenting Arms and the standout candidate in that 2:35 at Wincanton. The final race on today's podcast then comes from the Kempton Park Poly Track. This is their 6:10 handicap here over a mile and 3. We've got 9 runners down to contest this. What did you fancy here?
Yeah, I mean, for me, Oceanographer all day long. He's not going to be much of a price. Unexposed 3-year-old from the Charlie Appleby Yard. Adam Kirby taking the ride. He's got a mark of 92. Okay, he's gone up. He's gone up for his last win, but he didn't half win. He absolutely bolted up. And for me, he ticks all the boxes, and I feel he's going the right way. Some of these have been on the go quite some time, or they just are where they are. But Oceanographer for me.
Oceanographer for the boys in blue, then getting the vote for Dale in that Kempton contest. Just remind us, please, one more time, your selections for the action on Thursday.
Yeah, 1:35 at Leicester. Take the crown for Henry Oliver and James Davis in the 2:00 at Wincanton. Fond memory for Sam Twist and Davis in the 2:35 at Wincanton. Presenting Arms, and in the 6:10 at Kempton Park on the poly track, Oceanographer.
OK, there we are. The thoughts of Dale Gibson ahead of Thursday's action. Remember, you'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 11:55pm with Stephen Powell, Chris Pimlott and Craig Forsyth in the studio to guide you through all of the action at Market Raisin, Leicester and Wincanton in the afternoon. Then into the evening, we're at Kempton Park. And there's an Irish card over at Clonmel. We'll be hearing Andy Holding's thoughts on that. So plenty to enjoy on Thursday afternoon with us here at Racing Radio. Thank you for joining me on this edition of the podcast, Dale, and best of luck.
Thank you.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.